Well, good morning, saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute, and we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. So we want to welcome you to our a brand new week, and this is Monday morning and dealing with the subject that we're going to be dealing with for the next 2 weeks is called the blessing. And so as we dive into it to look at and see, first of all, what is the blessing? And then we'll look at how the blessing is functional for me. You know, why am I blessed? What am I blessed for? And so we're going to talk about a lot of those things, and we'll just trust the Holy Spirit to do what? To give us the light that we need so that we will have the understanding and keep our faith, our confidence in Him, and not to lose the joy that the Lord has given us along the journey. So let's make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud once again. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So again, I want to say good morning to you. Thank you for joining me. This is a brand new week as we continue to deal with the blessing. Yesterday, I started at church teaching on the just shall live by faith. But this is actually a continuation the just shall live by faith, because when we talk about the just living by faith, that means you've been empowered. That means you have been blessed. And so we'll tie these things in together. But I think from what I, you know, receive from the Lord, it would be just, you know, share on the blessing. And so this morning, as we get into this, you know, I always like to look at what I call the law of first mention. The law of first mention is, where is it first mentioned in the Word of God? And why is that important? Because when you can see it all through the Bible, then we need to go back and trace it. You know, why is it there so many times? Why is it so important that the blessing, that I be blessed? And what are the benefits for me to be blessed? And why? Because you hear people all the time say, bless you, right? And, you know, we know it's an expression, you know, of inspiration, an expression of gratitude at times. But the word blessing has a whole lot more than just these terms. So in the shortest term, as far as defining what the blessing is, it means favor. And when you have favor, then that means you have been empowered. And when you are empowered, then that means you are endowed with what with something to do. In other words, you have been endowed what to carry out. Maybe it don't matter what it is. You know, just think about being a housewife, or being a store clerk, being a business owner, being a custodian. I'm using everyday things that, you know, where people live every day, because we don't look at what we call to or what was in our hand as a blessing. Sometimes we can look at that as a chore. We can look at it as something that not so, you know, doesn't have a lot of limelight to it. But the blessing is not about the car, the house, the material thing. The blessing is about you and I being empowered to do what? Number one, the reason why they were blessed, Adam and Eve. So let's go to the scripture and let's look at see what the word says, or what we call the law of first mention. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. And you see here that the Bible said that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So the blessing has to come from God. The empowerment has to come from God. Why? Because it is his creation. He not only created man, but the Bible said he created heaven and earth. So that means everything that's in the earth, God created it. So everything that's in the earth is subject to you and I. Because when God, a couple of verses of scripture that we could stand out here is number one, when we look at, it says, in the beginning, God created the, let me read this out of the Amplified, the Classic Amplified. It said, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heaven and the earth. So notice what it said. What did God do? In the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning is what God is giving us, the beginning of the earth. Something that, I don't know how long God was thinking on. He's God. I don't even know how to put that in words. You know, the Bible talks about how as a man thinketh, as so are we. So, because we are created in the image and likeness of God, so I believe God put some thought in creating the heavens and the earth, and then taking man made in his image and likeness and putting him in authority over it all. Now, I don't know how much time God put into this thinking about it. How he majestically put everything in his place and put and made everything to be subject to you and I on the earth. See, that's the first thing I believe when we talk about the blessing, we have to make sure and understand that, you know, there's nothing on the earth that God has not already empowered you and I with. That he has entrusted us to do what? To, number one, to have dominion. See? That dominion simply gives us power or authority to do what? To look at how God has created this, how God has put you in authority over this, to watch over this garden. And when you see something that's in this garden or in your life based on how God created the heavens and the earth, and I know maybe some of you that's listening to me at this moment, you may be thinking and say, well, that was in the beginning with Adam, but since Adam fell, a lot of these things have passed by. Well, it may have, but what are we going to do about Jesus being the second and final Adam that had, not only did he redeem us, but he also restored everything that was lost or stolen by the enemy or through the first Adam. So Jesus has redeemed and restored everything that was lost to you and I. He put it back in the original setting, the way God created the heavens and the earth. You said, can you prove that? Yes. We could look at 1 Corinthians 15, I think somewhere around you read verse 22 through 47. But better than that, if you notice in John 3, Jesus came to establish what? When he came out the water of being baptized, he came to establish the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the same system whereby God created the heavens and the earth. The kingdom is still God. The kingdom in the beginning, the creation of God, was the kingdom of God. It got polluted. It got contaminated. But then through the second Adam, it has been restored back in a spiritual sense. That's where the blessing which God had made unto us in the beginning, but that's where the blessing comes in. Part of the blessing is to dominate. Part of the blessing is to take charge, to take control of, not people, but over the earth, over everything that creeps in the earth. That's why no matter what's in the earth besides people, we have dominion, we have authority. It doesn't make a difference if it's demonized, if it's under the oppression of the enemy, if it's Satan himself. We have dominion, authority over the works of the devil because, why? Jesus, Colossians 2:15, he spoiled principalities and power and rulers of darkness, and he brought them to naught. To bring them to naught means he spoiled, not like food that stayed out on the kitchen counter or something like that, or stayed in a place where, you know, it lost its flavor, you know, and you could smell, you know, say, man, this is no good, it didn't spoil. Or you have something, maybe you have fruits that you don't eat, that you buy them too ripe and they stay in the refrigerator too long, they get molded or whatever. That's spoil. But this spoil here was an open triumph. That whereas everyone could see that the enemy had, there's no need to be afraid of him. There's no need, when we say to be afraid, there's no need to be afraid of having cancer. There's no need to be afraid of having some type of disease or some type of ailment in your body or having some type of financial issue. There's no need to be afraid. There's no need to panic. Are you following what I'm saying? Why? Because Jesus came, he spoiled principality. That's what he did. And he made a show of him. So the show of him would be, notice this, Jesus did this in the garden. I mean, did this in the earth. His spirit went to hell and stripped Satan of the authority that he had by laying down his life. Not as a sinner, but as the substitute for you and I, and he remained there until the Father was satisfied in himself that what sin did to his creation, and Jesus becoming a man in like passion and redeemed us and restored us spiritually back in the original place where God created man. When he said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion. So that's the purpose of God becoming a man in the body, in a physical body on the earth, to do what? To give back to you and I what God originally intended for us to walk with. So is the devil's a threat to you and I? Only when we walk in ignorance, only when we allow outward the things that we could see that come up on the earth. He uses fear. He uses unbelief. He uses doubt. Because those are the things that came along, came about through the first Adam. Now, though God has restored and redeemed us back in that perfect place with him, in the oneness with him, the only reason why doubt, fear, and unbelief is still here is simply because it's going to have to be an act of your will, like it was the first Adam, like it was the second Adam, Jesus. It has to be an act of your will, meaning this. You have to be willing to choose to walk with him in this life. You have to be willing to choose to make a stand on the promise of the word of God. That's the only reason why doubt, unbelief, And fear is still, it still can be a weapon to you and I. But when you understand the life that what God has wrought in us through his son, Jesus Christ, you have no need to fear. You and I have no need to live in unbelief, nor do we have any need to live in doubt. Why? Because he is our king. That's why we say in Christ, in him, and in whom. So you hear me talk about what we have that is in him, in Christ, in whom. Why? Because that's where the victory is. The victory is not in me per se. See, that's what positive thinking does. That's what New Age movement is all about. It's all about you. It's all about you making a stand. And in somewhat, they can have that type of success because of the Bible itself. Because why? Some of those principles are taken from the Word of God, and they will work to somewhat effect. Why? Because it comes from God. But when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to living the whole life, the thing that bring forth peace, the thing that give us this rest as a believer, no, they can't duplicate that. Because the only way you can walk in this life and be assured that my soul will go to heaven, spirit and my soul will go to heaven, is that I have to have a relationship with God. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. There's no argument. There's no substitute. To say, I go to church, or I give this and I do that. No. The only way a man or woman goes to heaven, we already know, is that they have to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. And the only way you can receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, you have to hear the gospel. The gospel is sort of like what I just laid out there, so that you have an opportunity to do what? To choose. All right, so here we go. So we looked here. We see that it says, in the beginning, God, he prepared. See, this is what he's saying. In the beginning, this is in God himself. He prepared. Notice it. He formed. So to form the earth, because he's the creator of it, it didn't have no form. It didn't have no fashion. God brought forth the earth from himself. God brought forth all the creation. And I really want you to see this. Why? Because if you really could get a revelation of understanding why you are blessed, because your father he's the originator of it, of its creation. Not the storms of life, not the crisis, not the pain, not the death, not the oppression and all of these negative things and whatnot. That came through one man's disobedience. Okay? Again, Jesus being the second and final Adam put us back in a place of authority. This I really want you to see, because until you really understand that and walk with that truth, that profound truth, then every time something knock at the door of your heart, or maybe at your mindset in life, it's going to try to throw you off. It's going to try to belittle you. It's going to try to rob you of the victory that you already have in Christ Jesus through circumstances, through situation, and etc. You have to always rise up to the occasion and say, no, no. The Bible said, and this is a verse of scripture, I want you to go to just a moment. Go with me to this verse of scripture. I'm giving you this. You know, when the enemy tried to rise up and begin to try to perplex you, you know, this is what you know, this is one of the scriptures that you say, and you probably have to get you probably have to get a, you know, get it in your memory first or write it down where you can look at it and say it over and over to yourself. I'm going to quote this from the King James. I quote it from the Bell Amplifier and the King James. But notice what it says here in the King James. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." What does it say? "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed me." Why? You have to have, even if it's not a revelation to you, you start saying it by faith. Why? Because now your mind is being renewed. It's starting to, a new thought has been introduced to your thought life. And the way you think, the way you use words, the way you walk in life, now you're putting words in there, giving yourself, you're broadening your vocabulary of thinking about life, about how to stand on the truth of God's word. And you begin to say, you know, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed me." So you see, the enemy at times will try to make you feel to believe that you are not blessed. He'll make you feel to believe that you are cursed. He'll make you feel to believe that something is wrong with you. That's why God not moving in your life. It's something wrong with the family background that you came out of. Well, all of our family background got something wrong with it. But guess what? The moment we got born again and we become spiritually educated and have understanding of these truths, then guess what? What I came out of is no longer a threat. It's no longer a weapon. Now it's under my feet. Are you following what I'm saying? A lot of time people are afraid that they are functioning through some generational curse and etc. Well, notice this. In the natural, that may be some natural traits of this and that, but when you really understand where it comes from, the natural does not have power over the spiritual. The natural only has a power and a force to deal with when you leave it there, when you accept it. But when there's something that can be done about it, it's just like, you know, most, you know, if you know that, let's say you have a headache, you know, well, I know that Jesus sent his word and healed me. Well, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to take him at his word and say, "I thank you, Lord, that you sent your word and you healed me. So I'm already been healed from this headache. So headache, I rebuke you. Leave now in Jesus' name." Or some of you may revert to taking an aspirin. Okay, but what my point is that you know that you've been empowered to either take the aspirin, take the word, and get it away from you. Well, that's what this is saying. "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed you." So when the enemy tries to bring a thought that is negative, a thought that's of defeat, a thought that makes you indecisive or inferior, then this is where you make a stand on this scripture. Because it's not what you did, it's what Christ have done for you and I. We are the recipient of a fallen identity of the first Adam. Now, in my spirit, I no longer have that fallen identity. But in my soul and my body, it still bear witness that that identity is there unless I renew my mindset. Until I renew my mind with the word of God, so that it can have the same, it could be generating the same life of light that come forth out of my spirit, my soul, my body, my relationship, my finances, my family, everybody will be experiencing it. So you break generational curses, how? Through the truth of God's word. So rather than say, well, you're under this generational curse, well, the only reason why that curse, if it is working, it is because of an unrenewed mind. So with your mind, knowing that, again, if you had a headache and you took an aspirin, well, guess what? Now the headache is the aspirin is working on your behalf, and now the headache is gone. You don't sit there and just let it continue to just, you know, pound your head, right? Or you take the scripture, you stand up on the word of God. No, you're combating. Well, it's the same thing about whatever you came out of, whatever background you came from, whatever that was strong in your life, or what you are battling it with the word of God. You take the word of God and you begin to make that stand and said, blessed be God, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessing. So when you look at and understand, say, what are the spiritual blessings? Well, number one, he forgave you. He's not holding your sin against you. He's not holding where you've been. He's not holding how gross it was against you. Are you understand what I'm saying? Number two, and I'm quoting this from Psalm 103. We'll get that sometime this week. He forgave, he healed all your disease. Are you following what I'm saying? These are the benefits of being blessed. This is the blessing that he has bestowed upon you and I. But guess what? I have to partake it by faith. And that's what the lesson we're doing right now that I started yesterday. The just shall live by faith. I think Hebrews 10:38 said the just shall live by his faith. Because you have to, you know, his faith will be by the Lord Jesus Christ, or you already know you have the faith of Christ. You have to apply it in a personal pronoun, as a personal pronoun, meaning you have to take the authority. You have to take the stand on the faith of Christ that's already in you. Because if you don't do it, then guess what? You can't cry out for somebody else to come along and do something that God has already done for you and I through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be the one to do what? To speak. Amen. And so that's why this is so important. So any type of curse or anything that's in your life that seems like the background that you came out of that wants to hold you as a hostage, again, whatever curse, whatever degenerate thing, you broke it the moment you got born again. Now you have to reinforce. Amen. Because if you don't reinforce it, then guess what? There are laws, because what we're walking by is not automatic. We have to keep reinforcing our stand of this righteousness of whose we are. Let me say that to you again. We have to continue to reinforce our stand of the righteousness of whose we are. That's what Jesus said in John 8:31-32. He said, if you continue, those Jews that believed upon him, remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago, the first thing they had to do is what? Believe. Those Jews that believed in him had, number one, they had to continue in his word. He said, and then you shall be my disciple. So we're not talking about a Christian. A disciple is one that do the word. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a doer. That means we are disciples of Christ, meaning if my body got attacked and he showed me the proof of what he did in his life, in his death, his burial, his resurrection and his ascension at the right hand of the Father, then as a disciple, I'm going to make a stand on. I'm a doer of that word. James 1:20-22. I'm a doer of that word. Why? So that I can enjoy the benefit of what is already rightfully mine. Can you see that? And so, so you're actually making a stand against those things that wants to throw you off and get you back in a place of thinking just natural, thinking just physical. Because if the enemy can get you to just think natural or keep you in this physical realm, then guess what? Sooner or later, it will wear you down because your willpower is only so strong against so much. But sooner or later, because it's a spiritual force, it will wear you down. It wear down the best. So how do I counter that? You have to recognize you've been blessed. And the blessed means you've been favored by God, not because of something you've done, but because God took time. He planned, he pre-planned, he prepared, he formed the earth, and when he had the earth planned and formed out, he had you on his mind, how you will expedite everything that he created. That's what the enemy is literally afraid of for every one of us, regardless of your background, regardless of what mistakes you have made, regardless of your education. If we could really get the foundational truth about the blessing, then we will walk free. We will be able to enjoy life. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? And so here, as I close with this, in the Amplified, verse 1 of Ephesians 1 said, verse 3 says, it says, may blessing, praise, and notice it, laudation and eulogy be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say? The blessing, the empowerment, the eulogy, it goes to God. Because what? You're receiving something from that. And notice this. It says, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ. Notice it. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual given by the Holy Spirit blessing in the heavenly realm. Wow. Can you see that? It's in the heavenly realm. So the kingdom of God is what Jesus came to reestablish to us. He didn't come to preach religion. He didn't come to preach, come against truth. He came to establish a new kingdom. That kingdom which was always spoken of since the fall of man. And it's called the kingdom of God. And as David, even King David said, his kingdom will be established forever and ever. And so his kingdom is what I'm teaching of right now. I'm teaching of the kingdom of God. Are you understand what I'm saying? Now, we talking about here, labeling this here as the blessing, because why? We need to find out why is the word blessing always mentioned. Again, why is it that we always hear people say, you know, be blessed, God bless you, sir, God bless you. I mean, even when a person sneezes, bless you, you know. And it's, you know, I get it. It's not wrong. But when you keep the word blessing in its original content, not saying you can't use it the way, you know, I just meant, but when you keep it in its original content, it is, what is it doing? It is empowering you. It is favoring you to do what? To live on this earth, even though the corruption that's here, even though the thing that we see, the unfairness or whatever is here, we can still take the word of God because we've been born of God, and we can use God's word because it is what does what? It is what opened the door. God's word is what opened doors. God's word is what closes doors. Amen. God will open doors for you that no man can shut. God will shut doors that no man will be able to reopen. That means things in your life. Are you following me? So when we talk about, you know, I'm getting ready to, you know, I'm closing out this section, this segment. We'll jump back into it tomorrow. But when we talk about the blessing, I want you to have a full scope, excuse me, of understanding what the blessing is and what the blessing is not. So the law, again, as I close with this lesson here, the law of what we call, I call the first mention, meaning where was the word blessing first mentioned in the Bible? And when we see that where it was first mentioned, you know, we see it here, over here in Genesis itself. And when we see over here in Genesis itself, it tells us that in Genesis 22, notice this, it says, well, let's look at verse 21. It said, God created the great sea monster and every living creature that moved, which the waters brought forth abundantly according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, suitable, admirable, and he approved it. Now, notice this. God created the great sea monsters. Well, we're talking about the whales, the shark, all the fish that's in the water, and birds with, you know, with wings. Now, notice this. Here's the first place that we see the word blessed, and it said, and God blessed them. Notice this, saying, be fruitful. Saying, can you see that? Saying, be fruitful. Now, the same thing with you and I. When God's blessing or God called you to something, guess what you need to do? Speak to it. Speak to your business. Speak to your marriage. Speak to your job. Speak to your body. Speak to your family. Why? Because you are blessed. You are blessed. And it, again, the blessing is not going to work automatic. The curse is automatic. The hard press is automatic. Feeling condemned and judged is automatic. Why? Because it's in this atmosphere. And what you and I are doing are making a bold stand against something that doesn't have the legal right to do this, because Jesus stripped it of his power. But if I don't open my mouth and speak accordingly to what I have a right to, then we'll look and say, well, that don't work. I tried that. You know, no. Don't ever say you tried that. It's just that you didn't have enough understanding of that truth. You didn't have enough understanding of how to stand, you know, how to stand on the word. And that happened to us all. But you don't quit. You don't find fault. If you find fault in anything, look at the fault in yourself and just say, you know, Lord, how did I miss this? Lord, what did I not understand? And sometimes it could just be you didn't stand long enough. Sometimes, again, because of the way things appear, you go with the flow. But you are blessed by Almighty God to do what? To walk in it. Notice what it said here. And God blessed them. Bless whom? He blessed all the living creature that moved in the water, that brought forth abundantly according to their kind. See, they were do what? To multiply. They were to be fruitful. It said every winged bird according to his kind. And God saw that it was good, and then notice it, and admirable. And notice what God did. He approved it. I mean, if something you see that may come about, but it's not good, I mean, it may look good, but you know, you say, no, I'm not approving that. Yeah, see, just because something didn't work out in the way that you want, that don't mean you approved it. That don't mean you just go, no, just say, you know, no, I don't approve that. It's like saying, I will not concede to this. Why? I may not have the answer. I may not have all that I need. But guess what? I know it's something better. It's something bigger than this. It's something more. And what do? We patiently walk with him, trust him, stand in his truth, and notice that sooner or later the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened as you go. Why? Because you and I are a living, speaking species by faith, living in the Word of God. So you live in a world that is what? Word activated. And that's why if you don't open your mouth and you speak, and that's why I'm showing it, because, and God blessed them. See, that's the first place that it was mentioned. God blessed them. So what do you mean by it? He said, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful. That means now they're empowered to bring forth. Not because of anything that they do or anything or who they are. No, they would, nothing knows how to bring forth, nothing knows how to produce without God giving its word, giving it the saying. Because the life of it come from God. Now, Satan has perverted things, and the only reason why evil know how to be perverted, or things that that's filled with perversion, is because it took the truth, it took it from the truth. But it didn't want to walk in the light, it didn't want to walk in truth, it wanted to walk in its own, it wanted to create a whole new identity, and that's what Satan is all about. Satan is all about creating a whole new kingdom using people to do what? To identify himself. He's a defeated foe. And Lord have mercy. People who allow him to think that there is no heaven, there is no hell, they are utterly mistaken. I guarantee their history will show people going in their death, on their deathbed, as hard as their heart was, and they saw, but no way of returning, because they always rejected the truth. I'm told in history by reading behind certain people, certain things and whatnot, I say, oh, it's so hot. Oh, I feel so tormented. Going down. No, there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But you can gain heaven while you're here on earth by walking in that which he has given you and I the victory of. But you have to take it by faith. You have to be a partaker of faith. So one more time with this verse of scripture. Notice it said, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the sea. Fill the water in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And that was the evening and the morning, and it was the fifth day. And then it went on, and God created the livestock and everything else. But then when God got to the end of the sixth day, notice this, God created everything in the earth that man will have dominion and authority of. Because notice this, in verse 26, it says, and God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image. That's what I want to focus on tomorrow. Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. Now you think about that for a moment. The God that created in Genesis 1 that says, in the beginning, God prepared, formed, and fashioned and created the heavens and the earth. So if God formed and fashioned and created the heavens of the earth, and then in verse 26 he said, now let us make man in our image and in our likeness. For what? So that everything that God created that man could have authority over. Can you see that? This is the will of God for you and I, is to walk in this dominion, to walk in this authority that he has made unto us by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my time has come and gone. It is always a joy to teach you the Word of God and to enlighten you with these truths. And if you have any questions or comments, you can always message me or text me in a text or whatnot, and I'll do my best to answer these things for you, whatever your concerns may be. And so also, if you love to be a partner, you love to partner with us, be a giver into an anointing that does what? That is enlightening you, maybe strengthen you, giving you hope in a manner to where things look dire, look desperate, then you can help support us, Cash App, the Favorite Church. And so what? Why? Because we as a church are moving forward. And I just thank God for His grace. I thank God for His mercy and what He's doing. And so as you walk with us, what you're doing, you're saying, Lord, thank you for truth. Thank you for understanding. And that's what you're doing. And as you do that, then we're able to minister to more people. We're able to do things on a larger scale. Amen. But we love you. We thank God for you. And as we always say, until the next time, may God's best and His favor be with you. Love you now.